Valsa John was born on February the 19th, 1958, in the village of Edapally in Kochi, Kerala, India. She was the youngest of six brothers and sisters. The young Valsa was educated at her native place and she began teaching economics at St. George High School in Kochi. As a teacher, she had begun reading newspapers and magazines of heroes and heroines in their real life. In the process, she was deeply affected and influenced by the lives of two women missionary sisters in North India, one working in Jharkhand deep inside the jungle and another one serving among Gondi's tribal group in Madhya Pradesh. In 1984, she joined the Sisters of Charity of Jesus and Mary with the intention of working among the poor. She was appointed as a teacher in a school in Jharkhand, where she began observing the life of the poor much more closely. She went for Teachers Training Center and taught briefly in Himachal Pradesh, where afterwards she went to learn more about the Dalits, which are members of the lowest social group in the Hindu caste system. Frugality became thus a lifelong companion for her. Experimental knowledge of hunger and poverty was very important to her, so that she would be able to relate with the powerlessness of the exploited and the marginalized people. In 1993, she moved to Kodma to work among Santals, the largest tribal community in India. Sona Santal Samaj Samiti was formed after the martyrdom of Father Anthony Murmu, and 15 others welcomed her. Sister Valsa began walking to the villages, meeting women and going to the hills with them. She endeared herself to the women of that area by gradually learning their language, customs and folk dances. She worked in the Sona Santal Samaj Committee and among the women of that area for 2 years until she left Kodma in 1995. She was appointed as a teacher in a school in Japani near Amrapara of Pakur district of Jharkhand. It was a really tough decision for her to make, for her heart was in the villages with the exploited women and their struggles. She began touring the nearby villages after the classes and during holidays without taking any rest. It was during one of these walking tours that she noticed a camp of the Geological Survey of India near a village called Baromasiya. When she inquired about its purpose, the officers thought that she might help them in persuading the people to part with their land for mining. But Sister Valsa realized that the Santals would be displaced on a massive scale if the project for coal mining came through, that they would be taken away from the lands which they lived on for years and be left with nothing. She began informing the people about the actual intentions of the government. They listened to her and realized that they were being deceived. Sister Valsa began mobilizing the people of different villages to resist the mining project. As always, the people realized that only an organization of their own would help them in the hour of need. During this time, Sister Valsa stood by them, inspired them, and animated them. The final outcome was the formation of an organization called Rajmahal Hills Protection Movement. These hills that symbolize the compassion and majesty of God were going to be destroyed. The tribals realized that the resistance was the only way out for them and their children. The coal mining company had set up an office in the nearby market town of Amrapara. The middleman of the company managed to recruit a young Santal youth. He began providing money and liquor to the Santal youth of the nearby villages. Their job was to convince the people to part with their land. They did this by arguing that the land actually belonged to the government and that compensation would not be offered if the people continued their resistance. So it was in their best interest to stop the fight and receive their compensation. This cunning ploy worked, and the unity of the people began to shatter. The unemployed youth of that area became influenced with money. Hence, the resistance movement began breaking apart. Huge amounts of money began flowing to the people and gave rise to new ambitions. The tribal people, who had never seen such free flow of money before, now aspired to become more powerful. The committee members already had some power, now they wanted more money. The temptation to become rich faster made them sacrifice the very ideals that they had learned during their lifelong struggle. The resistance movement had taught them to honor their own simple lifestyle and say no to greed, but now they began succumbing to a new lust for power and money. The violence of the mining industry also began affecting their character, and they descended into an abyss of criminalization. Even as the movement declined, Sister Valsa's moral strength and leadership continued to uphold many people. As she gained friends, she also gained enemies. Sister Valsa was seen as a stumbling block by those who wanted to occupy the land, so they began propagating false accusations against her. One day, while Sister Valsa was away, they tried to demoralize the people by spreading the rumor that Sister Valsa had gone away permanently and then formed a committee of their own. They announced openly that Sister Valsa would not be allowed to return to Amrapara. Sister Valsa defied her opponents and returned to Pachuwara on November the 7th, 2011. A week later, on November the 15th, 2011, she was brutally hacked to death by a mob of 40 armed men. This was indeed martyrdom for the cause of the poor and the marginalized communities in Jharkhand. She wanted to share the vulnerabilities of the poor people and, like Jesus, became the vulnerable lamb to be sacrificed. Sister Valsa John stood for the rights of the victim all her life, and she finally paid for it with her life. Her voice may have been silenced, but her silent presence will always remain in the hearts of all those who struggle for and with the oppressed masses of India. Sister Valsa John, pray for us.